Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we're in Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. We're actually going to finish this chapter. And so let's look together at these verses. Verse 42. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he would not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. When we come to this passage, there's not a lot of deep, rich theological truth for us to expound, but there really are some practical things for us to consider today. And so let's take a few moments to look at that. First of all, kind of a summary statement here. Basically, what we see is that Jesus is finishing his ministry in one community. He's transitioning to another community where he's going to preach the gospel. And in the transition between those two communities, Jesus is taking some time for rest, reflection, and communion with his Father. This tells us that Jesus had priorities in his ministry work. And so I want us to look at those three priorities, and I want us to think about how we can practically live in the light of these priorities. The first thing we see is that Jesus was a good steward of his own body. In verse 42, it says, when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. I want to ask the question, why was Jesus going into a desert place? Weren't there lots of people who needed to be ministered to? They needed to hear the gospel preached. They needed to be healed. Obviously, he's ministering to lots and lots of people, and time is precious. Why is Jesus leaving this city to go away into a place of solitude? And the simple answer is Jesus knew when it was time to rest. He noticed when it was time to commune with his Father. And just like Jesus chose to and really needed to physically rest, and he needed to focus on his relationship with his Father, you and I need to follow the same pattern as well. In fact, it's interesting, there are other passages in Luke that talk about how Jesus withdrew himself at times into the wilderness, and the reason was to pray and to commune with his Father. For instance, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says, came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 9:28, it says, it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter and John and James, went up into a mountain to pray. We know that after the Passover night, when Jesus is going to be betrayed, he takes several of the disciples and they went into a garden. And there in solitude, he prays to his Father. What do we see? We see a glimpse into the devotional side of Christ's life. Christ communed with his Father. And just like Christ communed with his Father, we also need to commune with our Father. The fact is this, though. It also shows us that Jesus physically had to rest at times. He needed to stop the laboring that he was doing in one area. He needed to recharge and refocus. And then he needed to go into a new area of ministry. When I say refocus, I don't mean that he became disillusioned or discouraged or disheartened or anything like that. But Jesus physically became weary just like you and I do. We also see in the Old Testament that God provided many ways for us to recognize that we need to take rest and refreshment and focus on the Lord. For instance, when he creates the world in 6 days, he takes the seventh day and he sets it apart and he sanctified it and he hallowed it. And he established a pattern that we need to be a people who work for 6 days, and on the seventh day, we rest from our labors, and we focus our attention on him, and we recharge. Then we see in the Mosaic Covenant that God took that concept of a seven-day rest, and he actually instituted it into lots of different areas of Jewish life. There were feasts. There were festivals. There were several Sabbaths that were a part of the Jewish calendar. And on those days, the people would rest from their labors. They would spend time together in community. They would focus on God. They would enjoy the good gifts of God. They would rest from their labors. And this is a part of their lives. We see that in the New Testament, Christians on the first day of the week would set aside that day to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to celebrate the resurrection. And that's when the local church would gather together. And so Christian communities really follow the same pattern that was established on the first day of the week when God set aside a day to sanctify and to hallow it. And we also see that there were times of refreshment and festivals, even week-long celebrations on the Jewish calendar. This reminds us that we are people that need to rest. I don't mean we need to be lazy. There's a difference between being lazy and working hard and then resting when it's appropriate. And part of this is being a good steward. We are not machines. Our brain's not just a machine that can run indefinitely. And even machines have to stop and they have to be maintained and those kinds of things. So part of being a good steward of the body that God's given us, the mind that God's given us, is to take time and to rest and to refocus on the Lord and to commune with Him. A second priority that we see is that He put others above Himself. Now, even though Jesus withdrew so that He could be alone in solitude and He could focus on His relationship with the Father and commune with Him in prayer, He still took time to interact with people who disrupted His time of solitude. And we see that in verse 42. It says, "And the people sought Him and came unto Him and stayed Him, that He would not depart from them." Literally, they came to Him and they said, "Why are you leaving us? You're doing a great work. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to see our sick healed. We want to see demons cast out. We want you to continue the work that you're doing in our community." So even when Jesus took time to rest and to commune with His Father, when these people came, we don't see that Christ is rude and withdraws and doesn't speak with them. But the fact is, He laid aside His rights and He ministered to these people. But He had to be straight with them. He had to be very forthright with them and say, "Look, my ministry in your community has finished. I'm going to a new community because that's what God wants me to do." But what we see is that Christ was selfless in how He related to people. And we see this pattern all throughout Christ's life and ministry. A selflessness, a willingness to put others ahead of self. And the fact is that if we're going to minister to people, we have to have the same kind of disposition. And we have to relate to people in the same kind of way. The third priority that I want us to see that's extremely important here is that it was the priority of His Father's will. In verses 43 and 44 it says, "He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent. And He preached in the synagogues of Galilee." Now He's emphasizing He has to do this. He's compelled to do this. He's emphasizing the fact that He's been sent. Literally, somebody's telling Him, that's where you need to go. So that tells us that there are times when God moves people out of effective ministries, prosperous ministries, good ministries. He moves them into new places because He has a new kind of ministry for them. Even the Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay in one city His entire ministry, but literally He traveled all around Galilee. He traveled all throughout the regions of Judea. He did that because God wanted the gospel of the kingdom spread throughout all of those cities, not just in one place. And so these people had to recognize that His ministry there for that time was completed. He needed to go to a new location. But the reason that Jesus did that was not because the people rejected Him. In fact, we see that the people in this area received the message far better than the people in Nazareth. In Nazareth, they wanted to kill Him. They wanted to run Him out of the city. In this community, the people embraced Him. They wanted to hear what He had to say. Yet God the Father was sending Him out of that region to a new region, to new places to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so He knew this, and He was submissive to His Father's will. So you may ask the question, well, what can we practically glean from these verses? Where we talk about the need to rest, we talk about the need to put others ahead of ourselves, and to submit to the Father's will when it comes to this area of ministry. Let me give you a couple of practical things to consider. The first is this. It's a question. How are your priorities? Do you prioritize well? Would you say that you have a hard time taking time to rest and to focus on the Lord? Do you actually spend time with God in prayer and in communion and in reading the scriptures? How many of us, as soon as our feet hit the floor in the morning, our first thought is not, I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to worship. I want to commune. I want to uplift people in prayer. How many of us, the first thing that hits our mind when our feet hit the floor is what we have to do during the day? Are we really prioritizing well? Secondly, Are we taking time daily and weekly to rest and to commune with God, both personally and corporately in the local church? You know, when we talk about New Testament worship, there is both a personal relationship with the Lord, where we commune with Him one-on-one, reading the Scriptures, spending time in prayer. And then there's also the side of it that's corporate. God commands us to be assembled as a local church. And assembling doesn't mean I listened to a message on sermon audio. Or, I read a sermon out of a Spurgeon book. The fact is that assembling means we meet physically with other Christians. We are assembled as a local church. We are covenanted together. We worship together. We commune together. We sing together. We pray together. We sit under the ministry of the word together. We take of the Lord's table together. That's an important part of our walk with the Lord. And the fact is that we need to daily spend time with the Lord to be strengthened and nourished and to worship Him and to grow. And we also need to be communally connected, where we are a part of the Christian community, the local church, where there is corporate worship and corporate praise. Are we actually doing that? Realize that it's clearly disobedience if we're disregarding the local church. Thirdly, when it is convenient, am I willing to set aside my own rights to minister to others? Now, this is something that we talked about last night in our Wednesday night Bible study. We're talking about ministries of mercy and how if we're going to minister in mercy, it can cost us something. It could cost us a lot. We talked about a man named Onesiphorus who ministered to Paul when he was in prison in Rome. And this man was willing to associate with Paul, even though he knew that Paul was imprisoned for the faith and that Paul was likely going to die, which he did at the hands of Nero. The fact is that if we're going to minister to other people, we have to lay aside our rights. We have to be willing to put others ahead of ourselves so that we can actually serve them. And so I want to ask this question. When it's inconvenient, are we willing to set aside our rights and minister to others the way that God would have us to do that? And then the final question I have is, do we prioritize our ministries as God has ordered them? Now, it's easy for us to talk about priorities in a sense like, oh, I feel led to do this, I feel compelled to do this, versus what God's actually communicated in His Word is our responsibility. For instance, are you married? Do you have a husband? Do you have a wife? Then your responsibility, this is not, you know, some spiritual thing. This is what God states in His Word. Your responsibility is to minister to your spouse. You have an obligation. So I want to ask you a question. Are you prioritizing the ministry of being a husband or being a wife? What about children? Do you have children? If you have children, then you have a responsibility to nurture them, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to not provoke them to anger, to talk about the ways of God when you walk and when you talk and when you lay down and when you're eating. The fact is you have a responsibility to minister to your children. Are you a Christian? Then you should be a part of a local church. And being a part of a local church means that there are other Christians that you're connected to, you're covenanted together as a local church assembly. Those Christians are people that God has put in your life that He wants you to minister to. We think about our church family. We think about our own family, our extended family, our parents, people that are a part of our extended family. Do we minister to these people? We think about the lost around us, the people that God causes us to rub shoulders with, those divine appointments. Do we prioritize giving the gospel to those people? The fact is that when it comes to our personal lives and it comes to our ministries, we need to recognize that God gives us, in His Word, certain priorities. And we need to assume those responsibilities the way that He commands us to. And so I want to ask you this question. How are your priorities today? This is not a deep theological text of Scripture. It's a practical text. It's a simple text. It simply tells us that there were times that Jesus got away. And even when He got away, He still interacted with people. And there were times that He was having effective ministry in one location, and the Father says, no, now it's time to move to a new location. And He did it. He submitted to His Father's will. These are not deep theological concepts. They're practical. They're rich. They're about obedience to God. They're about daily walking in fulfillment of His purposes for our lives. And so I want to encourage you this morning to do that, to take those simple priorities that were laid out in this passage, what we see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's allow those things to be a part of our lives today. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. If this has encouraged you, I hope that you'll just share a word of encouragement, perhaps share it with a friend who might be blessed and encouraged by it, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to reflect on this text of Scripture. Help us to have godly priorities in our lives. Help us to take time to rest, to reflect, to commune with you. Help us to put others ahead of ourselves and be willing to sacrifice for the sake of other people. And I pray that you would help us to be submitted to your purposes when it comes to the way that we carry out our ministry obligations. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope that you have a great rest of your morning, and Lord willing, we'll continue our study tomorrow. Bye now.